wide open slate, a kiss from a stranger, a thousand first dates. You're an island, baby, to hell with heaven's gate. There's not a moment too soon if it's never too, never too late.
So here is the here's the thought process. Elton John singing Never Too Late, a Oscar-nominated original song from Elton John, Never Too Late. And it is the little tap on the shoulder to remind you that we're talking about Oscars, and the Oscars take place this Sunday. The 97th Academy Awards will take place this Sunday in Hollywood, California, honoring movies released in 2024. Conan O'Brien will host. Every year, we welcome one of the foremost film critics in the industry to join us and discuss her impressions, our impressions, the impressions of this year's Best in Film. Thelma reviews film and TV for AARP.org and The Wrap. She was the twice the chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and is a founding contributor to GoldDerby.com, the first dedicated awards website. Also, the author of three novels. We've had her on for every one of them. Bittersweet Brooklyn, The Last Woman Standing, and Playdate. She's a dear friend, and we welcome our very own Oscarologist, Thelma Adams, to the roundtable this morning. Hello, how are you?
I am great. Thank you very much. And I didn't tell you that I've added one more credit.
All right, all right.
One more credit is I'm writing about TV for the Boston Globe, which is really our...
Oh, I actually knew that and didn't...
That's our area, right?
Yeah.
Boston, close enough.
Do you like writing about television?
Yeah, I do. A lot of juicy stuff on television.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. So it's not... Is it feature reviews? What do you...
I do a weekly What to Watch This Week, and then I review things like A Thousand Blows, which is the new series from the Peaky Blinders guys.
Oh, very
Stephen
cool.
Knight. Yeah, very
so,
cool.
So let me ask this question, then we'll get to Oscars,
yes.
I promise. But how do you keep track? This is a perennial question that happens in the Donahue household of how do you keep track of all the new stuff on TV? I mean, we need columns like yours to tell us what to watch this weekend because there's so many different shows, so many
Endless.
Different. Yeah. And you miss stuff and then... somebody says, oh, there's this incredible show. And you say, oh, when was it on? 3 years ago. And you're like, oh, well,
but most
that
of
one.
Them now you can see again. I mean,
well,
most
sure.
of them are
yeah.
around. I tend to recommend what I like. Mysteries, thrillers, fiction. And then I'll throw in the Oscars or I'll throw in a documentary series about the Boston Celtics. You know, like... I tend to pick the things that I like.
Yeah.
Not so many the best cooking show.
I feel like you're sucking up to the Celtics fans.
There's a show coming out, a 9-part documentary yes. about the Celtics. Yes. It's a learning curve for me.
New All
Yorker
right.
that I am.
So let's talk about the Oscars.
Oh my goodness, let's.
Now, is this how do you feel? I don't have there are reasons you can perhaps draw your own conclusions, but maybe there's reasons that are obvious, but there are reasons that I'm just maybe not as interested in the films as I usually am, which is usually like radically
yeah
and there's just other stuff going on and I will
is there
yeah. And I'll admit my attention is somewhat diverted.
Yeah, and also a lot of these movies are 2 to 3 hours long.
Well, is that... So we have to fight against that, right?
Hmm?
We have to fight against that. That's too long for a film.
You know what? I find it is, but I'm not making them. Like, I occasionally like Anora's over 2 hours, and I just loved it. The question is whether it really keeps your interest. Dune, part two, is very long, and yet it doesn't feel long.
I agree.
So part of it is, Brutalist to me was brutally long.
Yeah.
just
yes,
was,
brutally long.
You know? So I think part of the not being as excited is how long this season has been, how uncertain when the various lead up, the SAGs, the Golden Globe, when it happened, there hasn't been a rhythm to it.
The fires, of course.
The big we're going to throw it in there. The big change is Trump. So what people were trying to say with their movies last summer, not anticipating Trump winning, now it's like, to me, what are the things that are memorable? Like the movie I'm Still Here. There's a beautiful moment at the beginning. It's set in Rio in Brazil. And there's this wonderful family. And there's a beautiful moment where their mother, played by Fernanda Torres, they're having fun at the beach. It's a beautiful day. It's Brazil. And she looks over her shoulder to the left and she sees military vehicles going down the street by the beach. And there's just this feeling of foreboding that I think makes that so much closer to the moment that we're in than, say, something like The Brutalist.
Also, it strikes me that Hollywood, I mean, certainly look at the Golden Globes and their history, but Hollywood in general was trying to get better at DEI and trying to get better at being more inclusive. So then they become more inclusive, and then that becomes like bad.
Completely true. Yeah. I don't know what, you know, I don't know the
and when I say bad, I mean,
you know,
politically
what?
Bad.
I mean, I don't know what the proper response is, but yeah, I mean, suddenly the thing we've been fighting for is the success of women directors. Suddenly you look at something like Dune and it's a diverse cast. And we see a lot of that. And that's great. And we see it on TV as well. This kind of diversity that has been so hard won, that I've spent my entire and long career, 30 years plus, trying to make it so it's not all about white men. And now suddenly we're suddenly from the presidential, from the Oval Office, we're being spanked for something that has taken us 30 years to fight for. So there's also this kind of disconnect and disillusionment that comes from that.
Right. And even this is going off script a little bit, but I mean, even when you see something like what Jane Fonda, God love her, did at the SAG Awards on Sunday, that was what I thought it was not out of character, certainly for Jane Fonda.
Right.
But it was in this award season and award shows, a very rare moment where someone got overtly political. And I thought, well, you know, if not her, who, by the way?
You go, Jane.
But
yeah.
Right, exactly.
It is. We cannot deny that it's an odd time we're living in. That's putting it nicely.
Yep.
And that has an impact on how we see the art that we see.
So, with that said, does that have an impact on voting? And what film do you think is going to win Best Picture?
You know, this is a crazy year. I am really feeling the Anora rising. And I would say that Anora, which is a less overtly political movie, has a very good chance of winning. That's where I'm going. Conclave might, as the dear Pope wanes, that might seem more urgent. I love that movie because it's so well made and every little piece of it is smart and all the acting is smart. But I'm not sure that that's going to make it to the number one, but I think it's rising. I mean, obviously, Emilia Perez is the one that's kind of a double whammy. It got shot down because its transgender star had questionable tweets, racist tweets from the past. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole. All of our readers know that. All of our listeners know that. But it had, coming in, 13 nominations, and now it's sliding down. And that's because also people had problems with the movie but didn't want to say it, and they were, supportive of it. And the excitement has kind of...
Yeah.
You know, the air's gone out of the balloon
it's
in that
one.
It's
bad press.
It's bad press, and there's a precedent for this, and you can take whatever examples you want. I always like to take Catherine Bigelow as an example. When Zero Dark Thirty came out, Congress called her and her screenwriter to account, saying that they had used confidential information in the script for that, and so she got totally freaked out. I mean, she was called to testify. And that she kind of dropped out of the Oscar race. And then right after the Oscars, it got dropped. It's a dirty trick tactic. So yeah. There's those kind of dirty trick tactics certainly had an impact on Emilia Perez.
So it is rare, I think, since it has been opened up to have 10 films that are actually nominated. They cannot nominate up to 10.
Right.
They nominated 10. They are somewhat broadly very eclectic in nature.
Right.
Although, like, when you think of blockbusters, you think Dune and Wicked as being the two in that
right.
category.
And I think that raises the question of what is a blockbuster.
Yes.
Like that one. What we're seeing also is the waning of the theatrical experience, and that doesn't mean it can't come back. That doesn't mean that places like our own upstate films and small theaters all around our area are filling in the gap and continuing to bring people in. But the theatrical window. You know, Netflix did Emilia Perez. The theatrical window, we all know, is waning, and we can't, and it's a we'll see. We don't know what the next step is. We do know that TV has stepped in completely.
Absolutely. Thelma Adams is our guest. She's a Oscarologist and the film critic that we invite each year to come in and to talk about Oscars with us before Sunday's big event. And Woo-hoo. We're thrilled to have her back today. Timothée Chalamet won the SAG Award. Oh, my gosh.
Know.
Now, what does that mean?
What does that mean? You know what?
This is her best actor, and both Ralph Fiennes and as well as
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody and Brutalist have both did well in earlier competitions. So is that wide open?
My question is kind of like, is this going to be the complete unknown as things get spread around? I don't know. That SAG nomination pushed him forward. I'm going with Adrian Brody for The Brutalist. My heart is with Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
I think he is always a great actor. And in Conclave, he's incomparable.
That was just a brilliant, amazing performance.
But looking, you know, if you want my crystal ball, I think that Chalamet has the potential to upset. On the other hand, when you take the whole Academy, people who have seen, you know, older people who have seen Dylan Rise, who are his age, they might be less embracing of him.
Yeah.
But we'll see on Sunday. That's an open question.
Well, either way, it'll be a pretty person who wins.
Either way.
Okay. Now, as far as... sure bets, sure things. If you're going to take all your money, mortgage the house, put it on one person to win an Oscar, who would it be?
This is an odd one. I would say Kieran Culkin.
I don't think that's odd at all.
I think that to me is the slam dunk.
The sure bet.
The
sure
bet. I think Zoe Saldana is going to carry the football for Emilia Perez.
Yep.
And she's going to win supporting. So I think those are clear. I am still on actress in a leading role. I am hoping for a Fernanda Torres upset. Now, Demi has done fabulous speeches for the Substance, and she's coming up, and most people are saying she's going to win. I'll take this one on if I've made a mistake, but I think Fernanda Torres, the fact that I'm still here, is nominated for Best Foreign and among the Best Picture nominees, shows an honest passion for that movie, and she is that movie.
It's interesting when you talk about Demi Moore in that in The Substance, because I was unaware that that film even existed until the Golden Globes, and it wasn't until then I was like, oh, now this is on my radar.
Odd. It's an odd. There were so many female-driven, female-directed and driven movies that came out of the pipeline of Cannes, Telluride, Toronto, where I always go, and I loved Night Bitch, the Mariel Heller movie starring Amy Adams, and I thought, wow, she's going to get an Oscar nomination, and people are going to love this movie, and it fizzled.
Yeah.
And it fizzled. In part, as someone who has two kids, I really related to the crazy response to having a toddler. I could relate to it. I think a lot of people couldn't.
When you look at this, I guess I should have started with this, but do you think it was overall, we were talking about it's an odd year, but for film as it was unfolding, did you think it was a good year?
Yeah. I definitely think it was a good year. I maybe didn't love the Brutalist. I liked A Complete Unknown, Conclave great, Anora great. I sat down finally with my son and husband, who are big sci-fi fantasy lovers, and watched Dune Part 2 finally. We sat and did a double feature, and I have to say that the director, Denis Villeneuve, probably, he did an amazing job because it has spectacle and it has real characters well directed. So
I thought the first film I just knew I was going to hate, and then I loved it. And then the second film, I was like, oh, well, now I really like the other one, and I thought it was fantastic. It's entertaining.
What, Anora?
Dune.
Oh yeah, Dune is very entertaining, and I've got to say, just that's a director who's taking. It's like the scope of Lawrence of Arabia. I mean, it's really big scope.
Yep.
But he never loses sight of the human dynamic. And then we have Timothée Chalamet again.
Yes.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, and leading a semi-franchise.
It is a franchise, and it has a huge popularity, and I'm glad to see it in this group. A Complete Unknown, like everybody went to see A Complete Unknown, right? Everyone went to the movie theaters and saw it, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And there are things in it that, you know, like Edward Norton is fantastic, who's nominated in a supporting role. Is it Monica Barbaro? Yeah, Monica Barbaro, who played Joan Baez. I mean, that's not an easy role to play.
And that was an amazing role.
She made it her own.
Really did.
Yeah, really good. And the dynamics between Baez and Dylan, which ultimately nobody really knows. You know, it happened in bedrooms.
Right. We're sort of going by lore and what works for the film, which is the case for most of these biographical films, of whether it be about Freddie Mercury or Elton John or whoever.
And I will say there's that Joan Baez documentary that came out this last year that is fantastic. And anybody who's interested, I can't remember the title right off the top of my head. But that is really an amazing portrait of Joan Baez. And a lot of complicated things come out that I had no idea of, even though I've been listening to her since I was five.
What did you make of Wicked?
Here's a funny thing. I am a a huge Wizard of Oz fan. I think, in fact, I could say that it had an impact on my life. It was one of those movies, Wizard of Oz. I don't know why I would say, you know, like, I don't think I've said this before, but it's kind of a seminal movie for me. And seeing Wicked, which I had not seen on Broadway, it was just so great to be in that world again.
Yeah. It was colorful, fantastical, just it was big. It was also long but fun.
Yeah, didn't you feel the length?
No.
That one. I started to watch it again with someone I was babysitting. And the second time I'm like, wasn't feeling the feel. But the first time I saw it, I was completely lost in it and loved it.
It's a big movie. I mean, it's a big spectacle.
And Jeff Goldblum is fantastic, and Bowen Yang adds some flavor, and obviously Cynthia Erivo, fantastic. And there was a point where I thought she would win Best Actress. That point is past.
Yeah. As far as films that you saw last year, that you think just got totally mowed over and of moments that you really thought should have been awarded or at least recognized by the Academy.
Well, I think Night Bitch was kind of the one that really struck me as something that got looked over. I would say on the flip side, if you don't mind my changing the question, on the flip side, I think A Real Pain being recognized. I mean, that to me was just not long. A fantastic script, a fantastic story. Jesse Eisenberg is not only a talent on screen, he's a great director, he's a great screenwriter, he has huge empathy. And that's also what's pushing the Kieran Culkin nomination forward. So I'm really happy that relatively small movie has made such big waves, and I think it's because it has passionate backers.
I wanted to like that film more than I did. I didn't hate it, but I felt that maybe the drama that was within the character of Kieran Culkin's character wasn't explored enough as to what brought that human being to the distress that they were at throughout the film.
Right. Right. It's not explained. It's not. Yeah. Right. I understand that. I'm trying to think. But at the end, it's so funny because at the end, it's so beautifully done that it starts with that shot of Kieran Culkin's character and it ends there.
Yep.
And you realize that people who think they're so connected have no idea about the real pain that other people are in.
And it was, and I don't, I'm certainly not saying I didn't think it was a good movie.
That was a criticism.
Yeah.
And I also feel that as a Jewish woman, and you know I'm Bittersweet Brooklyn, I went back and looked at my Brooklyn roots and also all the way back to their coming to America from Drahobych, which is now in the Ukraine.
Did you bring your cousin?
I know. I kind of am interested in the way it went about that and still was about the tour and how crazy tours are and, you know, authentic. Also, this idea of going to a place and authentically feeling it. And I really got behind Kieran Culkin's character where he's like, I don't want it to be explained to me. I want to just feel the experience. Witness Auschwitz, you know, really try to figure out how I feel about it, not be told that if I go there, I have to feel a certain thing. I like that. That's a theme that I like in my own life.
A lot of food for thought as we approach the 97th Academy Awards taking place Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming to us from Hollywood, California. Conan O'Brien is hosting, and I'm really excited about
that. Bless him.
Yes.
Hardest job.
Really hard job, but he's got the creds and certainly has done enough of these shows to know what works, especially at delicate times. Thelma Adams, you are the best. You're our favorite, and we appreciate you being our Oscarologist, and I so appreciate you being here as always.
Thank you.
Be well. Again, watch the Academy Awards on Sunday at 7. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.